It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential.
Being a pastor is one of the biggest blessings of my life. It can also be really challenging. Often it feels like everyone wants something from you. That's one of the reasons that it's so refreshing when you find a trusted ministry partner, a Christ-centered, church-driven organization that's truly there to help you carry your church's mission forward. For me, Compassion International has been one of those trusted ministry partners. Hear me say this, Compassion International is much more than asking people in your church to sponsor a child. Compassion offers proven, no-cost resources to help pastors make mission and discipleship a personal priority for individuals and families in their churches. My local Compassion team is in my corner. They genuinely care about me and my church. Learn more about partnering with Compassion at compassion.com/family goals.
Here is part two of our convo with Joey from Aura. Check it out.
So guys, the principles that we talk about here, there are four principles we talk about in changing the relationship with your phone. Now, again, full disclosure, obviously we have a company that is built to make it easy to put down your phone. Our belief is if we solve this core relationship that begins with proximity, if we can do that, then that will solve our interaction, that'll solve our dependence by vast degrees. So, as we talk about this, these four things are irrespective of whether you ever even go to our website or join RO or get a box, it doesn't matter to us. The term RO means to notice. I want everybody who's listening today to understand easy steps to go live a lifestyle of notice, to notice the relationships around you, to notice what's happening inside you, to be able to get into the word and to journal and to notice those great things. So this is not in any way a product pitch. This is us talking about here are four ways you can change your relationship with your phone. The first one is to recognize, we alluded to this earlier, it starts with you. It starts with you. This is the kids are not to blame. Your spouse is not to blame. This is on you. And if you begin with yourself, you'll be amazed what happens, not only for yourself, but then that will normalize a culture within your home where people will follow what you're doing. This goes back to what you model will be mimicked, and you want to make sure that what is mimicked is what you want to happen. So that's where it begins, is this begins with you. So we have to look internally at ourselves and say, I'm the one who's going to initiate this change. Real change happens over three generations. So what's cool is that everybody listening today has the opportunity to initiate multi-generational change yourself. And that begins with presence. This is not about putting down your phone. This is not about, because what's motivational about that? This is about forming relationships that matter, doing things that matter, right? So that's one, just recognizing it starts with you. It begins with you. The second one is the foundation. This is the most basic thing that I could possibly say. But we know the stats. You have to spend daily time physically distant from your phone. Daily time physically distant from your phone, which sounds so basic and so easy. But when you do that, when you spend time physically distant from your phone, you have joined the 9% club of people who actually do that. So that's rare air to do it. And just like, and I realize how simple this sounds, but this is the same thing. David, how do you get fit? Let me just ask, just very basic. If you said in 10, you know, 10 words or less, how does someone get fit?
Eat better, move more.
Right. Can you do that for free?
No.
Other than you can go run around your
it costs money to eat, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Except the eating.
More expensive to eat. Actually, but if you eat less,
sounds like you're not a good hunter, but like, no big deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's not foraging his own food.
Big hunter over here. No, I don't know how to shoot a gun.
So it is, in order to get fit, it is really simple. The solution is really simple. And you can go out and you can burn calories and build muscle for free. You can do a bunch of push-ups. You can run around your neighborhood. That's all for free. Yet, most of us belong to a gym. Why do we belong to a gym? Because it's hard to implement that. This is a difficult thing to do, is to go get fit. And I want people to realize the same thing. We got to recognize that this is a difficult thing to do. That as simple as it sounds of putting down your phone, that's hard. They are alluring. There are things on there that we need. There are things on there that kind of call out to, you know, the boredom in us that makes us want to, you know, get the dopamine rushes, dopamine hits. So spending daily time is most important. So let's think about this as building a muscle. If you were to ask, if I were to say, hey, David, how much should I bench? You would say, I don't know, like how much did you bench last time? So everybody's on a different level.
For you, I'd say 115, but continue.
I probably would. Yeah. Yeah. I would probably do, and that'd be tough, the one rep max, 115, sure. So it would be to prescribe a certain number. Oh, you need to spend 4 hours a day. That doesn't take into account where someone is on the continuum. So here's what we encourage people to do is start very small. Make sure it's daily, but start small. So what if you haven't spent time around your phone in a long time, spend 5 minutes away from your phone today, because you're going to build a muscle. That's just today. It could be six tomorrow. After you've gotten pretty comfortable around 5 minutes, how about you build up to about 23 minutes? And here's why that number is important. It takes 23 minutes and 15 seconds to refocus after you've been distracted. That's a study from UC Irvine. 23 minutes, 15 seconds to refocus after you've been distracted. And a lot of us haven't done anything other than sleep undistracted for 23 minutes and 15 seconds in a long time. I was one of those people, by the way. And then let's build up to an hour of phone free time daily. But again, the key is it has to be daily. So that's two. So one starts with you. Two, daily phone free time. The third one, and this is for your home, and this is to establish sacred times and sacred places without your phone in your home. And let's just begin in the home. Sacred time, sacred place without your phone. So in the morning, that sacred time could be about the 30 minutes after you wake up. That's just sacred time. That's time to gather your thoughts, time to do a devotion, that's time to journal, whatever that may be, 30 minutes. That's a possibility. A sacred place, it's kind of fun. My son and I, Harrison, I've mentioned a couple times, he and I have a pact that we don't take the phones in the bathroom, either our phones in the bathroom, no matter what. So when I do, I owe him
$5.
That's
a sacred place. The bathroom's a sacred place.
It is sacred.
When you sit on your throne?
I sit on the throne in my kingdom. So that's a sacred place for us. That sounds silly, but that's a sacred place. Another sacred place, the low-hanging fruit, is the dinner table. That's a sacred place. A sacred place could also be the living room couch where you all can watch a family movie together. Not all screens are bad. We're not saying screens are bad at all. You can share an experience by watching some NCAA tournament games together with your family or watching a movie. So establish those sacred times and sacred places within your home. That's number three.
I love that.
The fourth one is my favorite. The fourth one is be constantly on the look for cues for connection. Constantly on the lookout for cues. And here's what's fun. Cues, the Gottman Institute calls these bids. Bids that we're getting all the time from our spouse, from our kids. Mm-hmm. And those bids are really kind of these screams for connection, but they're communicated very subtly. So I'll give an example. If Gianna, my daughter, she came up to me and she said, Dad, can I tell you about what happened in social studies today? That's kind of more of an overt bid. It could just be like, oh, I had the worst day. And that's her actually saying, Dad, I got to talk to you about something. Will you listen to me? That's her crying for that.
Oh, I hate that. Daddy's got to send a text.
Was it? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, listen, bro, that's it. So that's the flip. If we have this 30-minute conversation, if Gianna and I have this 30-minute conversation, and 28 minutes in, I glance down at my phone, that moment is over. Right? That moment is over because she's being vulnerable. She's opening up to me and I'm not fully present there with her. And that is catastrophic, not just to that moment. That's catastrophic to her future willingness to open up to me because her neuroplastic brain that's forming and figuring out how to adapt to the world says to her, you can't be fully open with Dad because he's not going to be focused the whole time. He's not going to be fully present. So that will kill intimacy.
Ouch.
But the flip side is so freaking powerful. The flip side is, this is what I want people to do in these looking for cues. When you feel a cue, let's say Gianna, same example. Dad, can I talk to you about social studies today? All I have to say is this. Yes, let me put my phone down so I can fully focus. Let me put my phone down so I can hear you. Say those few words and then physically put your phone somewhere else. I put mine in the RO box every time. But put your phone physically somewhere else. Throw it across the room. And here's what that's done. That's told Gianna that she is the focus of my attention right then. That tells her, really tells her, there are 8 billion people who can theoretically reach me on my phone, and you are more important than every single one of them right now in this minute. So what does that do to a 14-year-old self-worth? What does that do to intimacy? What will that do for a marriage? people talking right now about like, oh, my marriage is struggling. How about you put down your freaking phone and just see what happens? How about when you go on a date night, hand your phone over to your wife and say, I'm here with you. Let's just see what will change. Because interestingly about marriage, just as a side note, marriage divorce statistics haven't changed that much in the last decade. But what has happened is the level of intimacy in marriages has drastically changed, that level of intimacy. So it's almost like saying like the health of a marriage is not based on like, are you married or not? You know, that's not a good way to gauge a marriage. With the health of a marriage is like, what's your level of intimacy like? And I'm not just talking physical intimacy, though that's an overflowing of it. What's your level of closeness? Does your wife feel heard? Does your wife feel seen? One of our most basic human needs is to feel seen. It's gonna sound the most obvious thing I could say today is, we physically can't look at our spouses when we're looking at a screen. So of course they don't feel seen. Of course intimacy is low. And this small thing, this lever in life, physically putting down your phone and saying, I'm here with you, will absolutely change the dynamics of a relationship.
And I think taking this to the next step, so obviously you got a bunch of information today, which I think is great. You've heard about the relationship with your phone that if you don't feel convicted a little bit, I do. When you were just talking right there, I can't tell you how many times my wife has talked to me, and I'm like, I can do both at the same time. I can multitask. But,
yeah,
I mean, it's not that hard also to give her my undivided attention, so that's definitely convicting. I think I need to do a better job of that. But, like, if you want to do this, and here's the thing. Here's why this gets even better for me. I think men need a scoreboard.
Yep.
I think scoreboards lead men. I think we're taught at a young age to compete. We always look at the scoreboard. We can say whatever we want, and we can say it doesn't matter. It matters. Like, whatever. You can lie all you want. So the RO box is a box, and it's a fancy box. It's not like this little, like, just ugly box. It keeps score. So, for example, I've had my phone in the RO box for a 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why would you do that? Well, my son was beating me. He was smashing me. Oh, wow. Okay? So he was beating me. And again, so this is a box, y'all got to understand, it's a box that has an app that comes with it that literally calculates how long your phone is in the box. So that's what I love about it, because it can get competitive. It can be,
yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, he's beating me. My wife has literally said to me, I did not reach you all day today. I was like, babe, my phone has been in the box all day long today. Nicholas was smashing me. So I knew he was going to be at school. I can catch up. So that's what I love about it, Joey, which I think is
so
cool. So explain.
It's competition?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a game?
Is everything in life not a competition? Joey, explain explain the box, explain the premise, explain how it works and how you can use this to not use this as a tool to steal back family time, more intentionality, and grow your family and closer to each other, and which is obviously an amazing thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it begins with this. It begins with the notion that we all know inside is that environment is stronger than willpower. We know that if you are relying on willpower to accomplish your goals, it's going to give out if your environment's not conducive to it. If you're a smoker and you're trying to stop smoking, you don't put cigarettes in your pocket all day long. You get rid of them. You remove them. So the RO box, the whole premise is designed around the scientific studies that tell us that the only way to reduce your screen time is your phone to be away from you and out of your visual field of sight. So we need a physical place. Now, we all have drawers. We all have shoeboxes. And if you can do that, that's great. But what we found in that is we need exactly what you just said, David. We need the gamification side of it. So we have this beautiful box that lives in your home. It's wife designed. It's wife approved, because as we all know, our wives only display beautiful things, which is why my wife's kept me around for so long, right? it has to live in your home. And because we view this as a habit and not an addiction, and that's controversial, I understand, but a habit, by saying it's an addiction, it says we're powerless. By saying it's a habit means we can do something about it. So we've built this all around the habit loop, which begins with this cue. So it all begins around the box. It sits in your home in a prominent place, and it's a reminder to you, oh yeah, that's right, I am a present dad. Oh, that's right, the Pollock family is a present family. We're together at family dinner. So it's a visual cue. And the app is also reminding you, hey, why don't you spend some family dinner? Why don't you have some time with your family right now? So it's sending you those reminders. So the cue and the habit loop leads to routine, which is the physical act of putting down your phone. So when you put your phone in the RO box, a couple things happen. One, there are chargers in the box, so it'll charge your phone for you. And then, like you said, David, it automatically connects to the app. And this is an important thing, that frictionless experience of dropping it in And then it's quantifying the time that you're away from your phone. And there, and again, it has to be physically distant from you, because the presence of it, science tells us, is kind of equals interaction with it as well. So physically distant from you, connecting to the app, and then you go live your life. I mean, that, again, I said it earlier, spending time away from your phone, who cares if you're away from your phone? What matters is what happens on the other side of it. And then when you get your, take your phone out, the app will tell you, hey, here's how much time you're away from your phone. And you tag that, you say, here's what you're doing. So it begins to categorize how you're living your life, which is really fun. That's more, that's even the scoreboard for yourself personally. And one, this is an amazing thing that people have told us. When they take their phone out and they see they've spent 47 minutes away, or an hour 47, or 24 hours like you, everybody says the same thing. They say, I'm so proud of myself. Which again, I understand that sounds a little bit silly, but that's the reward. This is the reward side of the habit loop, is you feeling good about yourself. The real reward we know is what you've done on the other side of it. And then it starts the habit loop all over again. So the family in-home competition, how are you doing relative to others? Of course, that's fun. That's some of the way, but it's again, competition towards a good end. And then all the other things, we've taken the tech company's tricks to keep us on our phone, and we're using them, these daily streaks and achieving the time goals, we're using them to help you be off your phone, gamify the experience of being off your phone.
Brilliant.
One or the other on their own don't do enough. A box, we all have places we can put our phone. We don't have a system. We don't have a platform. We don't have the gamification side. If you just have the gamification without a place, that doesn't work either. So it's the combination of those two things that makes this so powerful. And we hear stories from people every week saying, this has changed my life. This little box has changed my life. And I'll tell you too, guys, this is actually, again, I'm the chief of sinners here. You're talking to them. My wife, I spoke at a church yesterday. My wife told me, she goes, midway through the service, I thought, I can't believe you're the one talking about phones. There was no one worse than you. It's like Saul and Paul sitting here talking about phones. But I'm telling you, this practice will absolutely change your life.
That's pretty dope. Well, Pastor Jay, I wanted to share some other things too with the phone. You told me to bring this today. It's the only thing that I've actually brought ever into a meeting. I'm never prepared.
As you're looking for that, I just want to say this is brilliant, Joey.
Oh, thank you.
And what you're talking about, like, it's really not about the phone, really what you're talking about. What you're talking about is living at this high quality of life where you're truly connecting with the people who mean the most to you.
Yeah.
It's really not about the phone.
It's not at all about the phone. It is about your intentions. It's about you living fully, right? Mm-hmm. The glory of God is man fully alive. St. Irenaeus said that. The glory of God is man fully alive. We are not fully alive when we're on our phones. We are fully alive when you're catching that conversation with your daughter, when you're out there getting in a good workout, when you're reading, when you're in the Word, when you're journaling, when you're on a date night with your wife, like that's when you're fully alive. And of course, like this thing that would kind of be, that would mimic relationship, but is not relationship. It looks like, oh yeah, I'm connected with all these people on you know, on the social media platforms, but that's not real relationship. So of course, this is the thing that's most insidious, that looks so similar to relationship, but it's not that. But then we have this amazing opportunity to go live fully alive and put this distraction away and live fully according to the intentions that we have and the greatness that's inside of us. Proverbs 14:1 says that a woman builds a house with her own hands, and then the foolish woman tears her house down with her own hands. We think we build a family and we send our kids to violin practice and private sports lessons and all this stuff, but then we allow this thing in our homes. And we ourselves, for ourselves, and again, I'm not anti-tech, but we let ourselves get distracted by this. So we tear down the same house that we built with our own hands. We tear it down by allowing this thing to get in the way of those other most important relationships.
I love what you said about the cues, picking up on the cues that your wife or your daughter or your son are giving you. And I was thinking about from a spiritual perspective, one of the things I think about every day, what are the divine appointments in my life? And I try to be sensitive to who God is bringing into my life, what doors he's opening, and being sensitive to those Holy Spirit cues. Like God will tell me, hey, that person over there needs you to go talk to him. But if I'm engaged with something else and not with the Spirit of God,
I'm distracted.
I'm gonna miss those. And I think about how many opportunities we miss every day. Even like when you're standing in a line somewhere, I'm guilty of, like, even at the grocery store, I'm in line, I'm pull out and look at my phone. Well, another option would be, well, what about talking to the person in front of you or behind you instead of like engaging.
We don't do that anymore. Don't do that. Why would we do that?
Who is this weirdo talking to me?
On the way here,
store.
I'm driving here on the way here, and there's kids out in front of the church or in front of their houses. The school buses are picking up. Every single one of them on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's our responsibility as parents. Like Joey said, let's do it first. Let's live it first for ourselves before we show it. But here's some rules. Here's some house rules.
Because a lot of people have been requesting these and
people have asked about these. And this is important. So, like, we got to have some form of structure and guardrails for our kids. So these are the Pollock family rules. I'm not saying these are the only rules that need to be had, but these are ours. No phones in the morning until completely ready for school. Dressed, lunches packed, book bags packed, etc. So that's a huge one for us. Like, not starting our day with distraction, not starting our day jumping on, communicating. Like, that's not how we got to get our day going in the proper direction. Devotionals, reading our Bible, making sure all of our grown people stuff is done before you pick up a phone. 30-minute phone check after school, then the phone goes in the box, the RO box.
Okay. 30-minute phone check.
30-minute phone check. You can check your text messages, which you didn't answer throughout the day. You get 30 minutes with it. Now we're doing homework. We don't need our phone to do homework. We don't need our phone around the house. Like, we put our phone in the box. Phone stays in the box until homework is done, dinner, showers, chores, shooting, sports, et cetera, are finished. Okay? It's an important part, right? Like, again, I think we've got to teach our kids they don't have to have it. You don't have to have it all the time. We learn that, too, when we don't have it all the time, as I'm looking at my phone to read these rules. You can ask for specific phone checks for valid reasons, but otherwise we're not taking the phone out of the box without asking. You can use your phone for music, but your phone has to go on airplane mode. No texting, so we can get rid of the distracting of texting if you want to listen to music.
Like while you're working out, you can have the music going.
Last phone check is at 9, done at 9:15 to get ready for bed. The phones turn off for us. They go bye bye. They have a code that they have to type in after that. Well, they don't have the code, so they can't get into the phone. Weekend downtime for us starts at 10:30, or at the parents' discretion. No phones ever at the dinner table. No phones in the car unless it is a road trip. Okay, so for us, when you get in the car, what we found is we don't talk because we have a distraction and we start scrolling. So that's not. That's for us. Like, if we're on a long road trip, well, we won't have the phones out. But then if we're going on somewhere long distance, you can take them out and have a extended period of time of gaming or whatever. But the car is not a place for the phone for us, because we figured out it robs us of 20, 30 minutes that we can talk and not be distracted and have them just scrolling through a phone. Last one, and absolutely the most important one to us. No phones in the bedroom, upstairs, basement, or private spaces at our house or anyone else's house. The phone stays in the main area. Your phone stays in the main living area. That is something that every parent, please implement. Like,
they can't take their phone in the bedroom?
100% not. What good is going to come out of them taking their phone into a bedroom? Honestly,
can you imagine having the internet as a 15-year-old boy in your room overnight? I would have never slept. I mean, what a horrendous thing you can have. Just the things that you could see, but just like the detriment to sleep. The thousands of years of torture. Still the greatest form of torture is sleep deprivation, and yet our kids are walking around sleep deprived. Like, that's the greatest form of torture, and we're allowing them to do that to themselves.
Well, and you think about it, like, you think about those moment of temptations that I've had a bunch of moment of temptations when as a boy to look at different things. And porn is something that growing up, like, that was something that was okay. And it wasn't easily accessible. Now it's easily accessible. When you have those weak moments and you reach beside your bed and you grab your phone, it's done. Like, it's so easily accessible. So, and here's the cool thing about this, man. These are awesome rules. These are our rules. But you know what's fun? It's fun to watch Nicholas and Leah's friends walk in the house, and bang, their phone goes right on the counter. And they walk right upstairs, and they're perfectly fine with it. It's fun to go out to dinner. I love doing this with our sports teams. We go out to dinner, and I'm like, everybody's phone right now. Give me your phone, and we'll stack them up in the middle of the table. And it's amazing to watch 13-year-olds have conversations. It's amazing to watch the boys spitting spitballs at people and drilling your waitress with a spitball, but they're being a kid. But we don't allow that. We take that away from them. We rob them of that. Like, me and Lindsay, we were going the other day to one of my basketball games, and there was a less than one-year-old in a car next to us with an iPad right in front of us. And here's the thing. My family, my kids kind of missed that generation.
Like, honestly, now it's worse than ever. Now screens start, like, you see third graders with cell phones, fourth graders with cell phones, which we're an eighth grade family. Us personally, we waited till eighth grade to get phones. But I think that main one right there, man, like, this is not going to get easier. We need to teach them how to handle this with conviction, understanding the why, understanding why it's important to us, but having the rules in place. They're not rules to slap them upside their head. They're rules to help them engage and understand the detriment that a phone can be, because it can be. It can be one of the biggest detriments. It's distracting us. It's dividing us. It's there's very little that's good that's coming out about a phone. Yeah. Man. I mean, it's just not.
So do you abide by those rules or just the kids?
Well, I guess, no, I'd take my phone upstairs. Like, if I want to go upstairs, I'd take my phone upstairs. So just, no, I don't abide by those rules. Those my I make the rules.
Those are just for the kids.
I wrote
kids.
Those rules. Those are for the kids. now I'll say this, which is really, really cool. Like, because I've started, like, meeting with Joey and these guys and understanding the RO box and stuff, like, it's changed my relationship with the phone, but it's made me be a better example. Like, when we go into a restaurant, like, I just drop my phone in the middle console right there where they can see it, just right on top. And Nicholas does the same thing. Leah does the same thing.
And that's how we originally connected, David, was you put out a tweet that said, you know, to me, basically, like, I'm such a better dad when I leave my phone in the car when I go to, you know, lunch with Nicholas. And that tweet freaking blew up. And it was because it's such a message. Everybody feels this, and they're just looking for clarity. They're looking for clarity on, like, okay, what do I do now? What do I do next? And so what you just said, your family rules provide clarity. And so even if you took these four ways to change your relationship with your phone, begin with the plan. And I think one problem that most people have is they've resigned themselves to, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. This is just how things are. Bull How about crap. We question that? Yeah. And we say, no, I think that my family can look different. I think my relationship with my phone can look different. And let's just begin with a plan. It doesn't have to be perfect. No plan is perfect. But your four ways to change your relationship with your phone, that's not a perfect plan, but that's something. That's more than we're doing now. So we're all looking for some level of clarity on what do I do next. And so I would encourage anybody listening, please don't walk away from this without doing something.
Something small that will lead to something bigger, that will lead to something bigger, that will keep changing the relationship that we all have, an unhealthy relationship with our phones.
Build a muscle. That's exactly right.
How many minutes a day, or maybe hours, do you have your phone in the RO box?
Depends on the week.
Like, are we talking like 30 minutes?
No. You go way higher than that.
Because you said you're in competition with Nicholas, so I was just wondering I have no framework here for what. Yeah.
We'll get you an RO box and we'll start building the framework. How about that,
Pastor Jay? My answer for that for myself, I'm anywhere from probably 3 to 4 hours on average. So right now, as we're talking, my phone's in the RO box in the other room. Now I wouldn't be using it on the podcast anyway. But again, I like getting credit. I like the fact that I'm going to go out and I'm going to have an hour on that. So when I'm in deep focus at work, I did that. I didn't look at my phone until I did, you know, my Bible reading, my journal this morning. So I didn't look at my phone until I left for school with the kids. When I get home tonight, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock is the prime time for RO. What we see across all the RO community, the thousands of people that are using it, it's 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock a.m. and p.m. is kind of the hot usage times. But for me, it's about 3 to 4 hours on a daily basis.
That's amazing.
Which is crazy. It was 3 to 4 minutes when I started. I can't say this more strongly. I was the worst. I mean, when I heard that 23 minutes and 15 seconds stat, I told my wife, I've not done anything in years, undistracted for 23 minutes and 15 seconds. So it's built up over time. So the fact that I'm saying 3 to 4 hours is a shocking thing, which should tell everybody here that everybody here can do that. Over time, build a muscle slowly.
So is this something that businesses could use? I mean, I'm wondering, like, it's great for the family, but I'm thinking about productivity. Like, if a business, is that some kind of workers situation?
It's somebody's here's gonna be what we found. Here's the thing is, this is not a lockbox. This is not a stick. This is a carrot. This is an invitation. RO is there. You can go buy a lockbox somewhere else. RO is a way for you to build a healthy habit. RO is an invitation to presence. So if RO could talk, it would say around 6 o'clock at my house, hey, Joey, Kristen, Harrison, Gianna, hey, let me hold your phone. Looks like you're about to have family dinner. So it's an invitation towards presence. This is not a mandate. And so that's why we've decided not to kill functionality, not to put a lock on it, because we want people to build sustainable, healthy habits and recognize that the world is so much better on the other side of your phone. Darren Whitehead, pastor in Nashville, he says the real world is in color. So he keeps his phone on grayscale, and it says the real world is in color. And so for me, that's the same way. I would rather just have an invitation towards something even greater than what's in my screen.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. You are not fully living life when you're on your phone. When do you fully feel alive? When you're spending quality time with your friends and family, or playing sports, or just enjoying God's creation, whether it's a walk or a hike. I love Joey's four principles. Recognize it starts with you. It's what you model for your kids. Do the hard work early. Two is daily time physically distant from your phone. Put the phone down. Get away. Start with just a few minutes and work your way up to a few hours like Joey does. Three is sacred time, sacred place without your phone. Is that the bathroom? Is that the bedroom? Is that the dinner table or the car? Find sacred time where you and your family do not have phones around. And four is constantly be on the lookout for cues for connection. As humans, we long for connection. We long for meaningful relationships. Let's be on the lookout for connection with our kids, our spouses, our friends. Let's be on the lookout for connection with our kids, spouses, and friends. Sometimes it's a cry for help, and other times they just want to be with us. Give them your undivided attention. When you set the phone down, it tells them that they are the most important person in the world, more important than 8 billion other people. Aro isn't just a lockbox. It's an invitation to live life and live it to the fullest. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.